podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome to another episode of We'll Talk About That Later, a podcast about football. Mostly about opinions, sometimes about facts, depending on who you ask. Since you're here listening to us, subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, Google Podcasts, wherever. We are there. And follow us on social media as well. We're on Instagram and Twitter at WTATL Official. And we're also on TikTok at WTATL.podcast. Now, I'm about to tell you what episode we're on.
Episode 116. How is everyone doing?
Good. We're all back together now.
We're good.
Back together.
We're good.
Mark is back. Woo!
I was going to say, don't ever do that again.
I was really confused.
Then it kind of tilted towards, all right, cool, I'll let you off.
It was starting to sound like an after school special.
Back together, guys.
I wanted to say this so much when you were playing the intro, but Abdi kind of just did the transition, guys, from the opening kind of intro that we've got into the one where Junior's speaking, and you look so proud of yourself. So nice one, Abdi, man.
I don't know, it's the first time I did it. So why not?
And it didn't go wrong.
Yeah. Can't lie, Elijah was better last week, though. So.
Oh, man.
Pick
cool.
up Elijah, though.
I listened to that. I'm actually disappointed in you, Abdi, because it was honestly about an hour and a half in before you took your first shot.
Yeah. Are you?
Really disappointed in you.
You announced it right.
You announced it at the start, so I sat there and I thought, "Cool, all right, let's see what he's got." And then just
listening. The listeners where you were, though. Yeah,
you told him last week. You did it all for me.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
What about why he was gone?
Yeah,
I didn't say that. Yeah.
Cool.
It's recorded. Yeah. You know that.
But listen, what I'm saying is, if I had COVID, I still would have came in it because I'm built different.
Cool, because you definitely would have been let in.
Also, you had COVID and didn't come.
5 minutes. Abdi's been strapping up his wrist for 6 months now and he's talking about being a big man with COVID.
I've got a fractured wrist, yeah? So what do you want me to do? Shake it off? I'm like Benzema,
bruv. Do you actually?
Don't touch my thumb, are you crazy? Oh my, she's crazy. The way she did it as well, like... Oh my God, this is shambles of a podcast already.
Isn't it?
I'm a bit traumatised, you know, because something mad happened to me on the train just now. So you know when you're hybridizing, you're going up the escalator, yeah? There was this guy who literally just... barged straight past me, and I'll stand on the escalator right in front of me. So I stepped back a little bit, and then I went to tuck my lace in, and then the guy bent over. Boom! I got a face full of ass, and he was a bit like Hazard and Sterling because I got a concussion.
If he was like Hazard and Sterling, though, there would have been a bit of padding.
Well, nah, bro, that was, maybe he wasn't then, isn't it? Maybe he had no arse and...
Straight bone to the skull.
Is that what you was wondering, if he had arse or not? Damn,
wow,
Abdi.
My days, this podcast has started in quite some fashion.
Wow.
Abdi, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine now.
No wonder you're in such a good mood, man. I thought when I walked in, this guy's in a good mood today, man.
Mark, whenever I'm here, I'm never in a good mood.
Look at you,
you're
little flustered.
Yeah, isn't it? He's getting all red in there.
Whatever, man.
It's like when we talk about Danielle, but we won't talk about Danielle.
Oh, yeah.
Do you need to be checked by the WTATL medics?
I will happily smash this mic stand on your head, bro.
Be careful of your wrist, arm, man. Don't pick that up.
Cool.
Yeah,
on the way out, when I box you in your face, you can say sorry.
Wow, okay. It's only taken, 3 minutes and 50 seconds for
these
two to get back.
He's always drawing me out. Can I just say to the listeners?
He's always drawing you out.
Can I just say to the listeners? I'm going to put in air quotes. Oh, this Mark. Beef between me and Mark is solely from Mark. You know? He's the one who's always drawing me out. He's the one always saying not to draw you out and then draws you out.
Listen. Right, if you're yet to listen to last week's episode 115, just tune into the first minute and a half.
Oh, it's got the
minute and a half, and you'll know exactly who the.
Okay, cool. They hear what's on the air, but they don't see what's in the group, the group chat, and how you're nothing but rude. Yeah, but we'll talk about another. We'll talk about that later.
Me and Tanya do. That's not true.
Yeah,
thank
me
you.
And Tanya.
Thank you.
It's alright. It's lonely at the top, isn't it? So
oh my days.
Welcome back, Mark.
Thank you. No, it's good to be back. Honestly, it's good to be back. And on a more serious note, I really enjoyed the episode last week. So thank you, Elijah, for filling in. I'm sure we'd love to have him back again from the aggregate score. But really enjoyable episode. Good episode.
Hopefully permanently, because we can only have one Liverpool fan on.
Cool. I'm not even gonna buy it because
we're just going at each other.
Yeah. I'm just
let's
here.
Let's talk some footy.
Some footy.
Yeah, interesting because you guys did. Yeah, well, we're gonna have to, Tans. I'm afraid.
Can we talk about basketball because I'm getting into that.
Because it was quite an interesting episode last week because there was no football really. And you ran through, you know, your A to Fs or whatever it was of the transfer window, did a little AFCON summary, and then you spoke about some unfortunate incidents in the football world. But we've got football to talk about this week.
Oh, can I start with my question for the week? Yeah, go on then. I just thought about it on the way here. And because, you know, he draws me out all the time, it's time for me to draw out Mark now. Mark, I know you treat the Liverpool players like they're your children, so it's difficult for you to pick who's your favourite.
Wait, hold on. Can I just have some clarity here? Right? So what's this? Is this...
It's a question that I'm going to ask you. And it'll get to you. If you be quiet and listen, you can hear it. And same for you, Tanya. So basically, I want you to pick... So out of these six players, I want you to pick three. Mo Salah, Sadio Mane, Jota, Diaz, and Firmino. I want you to pick your first choice front three, and the other three get binned. Not on the bench, they get binned.
You want me to pick from six players when you listed me five?
I listed you six.
No, you did five.
Mane, Salah, Jota, Diaz, Firmino, and who's the other one?
Cool. So Maths obviously isn't your strong point, but that's cool.
Whatever in it. All right, out of those five.
That's a fair question. At the moment.
No. There's no at the moment. No. He's on the bench.
There is at the moment.
I want you to pick who your three favourites are and you won.
Are you going to let me answer?
No, I want to clarify. You are going to answer.
I am going to answer.
Firstly, pipe down, yeah?
I would ask you, but you've literally got one striker who's out of contract in 6 months, so it would be unfair.
Actually, we've got two.
All right, cool. Enketia doesn't count now. Let me just say at the moment, and allow me. At the moment, my front three is Salah, Jota, Mane. You can't take Salah and Mane out of that team. Too good. I've been too good for too long. Mm-hmm. And Jota's our main man up top now. But the beauty of it is that Diaz is young, 24, may have just turned 25. He'll take that left wing slot up soon enough. And to be fair to Jota, he's made that number nine role his own. So that's where I'd go right now with that front three. But it's good to have options finally, to have five very good, you know, world class, all five. You could have a debate about each one, obviously, on that. But it's really good to have those options. And as you said, obviously, Harvey Elliott. But he's being moulded into more of a eight right-sided centre mid. So, good to have those options. But currently, it'd be Mane. If you asked me to pick the team for Inter on Wednesday, it would be Mane, Jota, Salah. But I really like Diaz. He impressed me against... didn't get any minutes against Burnley. Very tough game and the conditions were horrible. So for a Colombian to come into England, he probably sat on the bench and thought, this is what I'm in for. But impressed me against Leicester and the league game that he played as well.
Interesting, you didn't mention Firmino at all. So is he binned for you?
Well, he's not. I love Firmino. Bobby Firmino is one of my all-time favourite players. But he, for me, is maybe past his peak. That's not to say he's still not a great footballer and he still does the same role on the pitch that he's been doing for years. But you can't say no to Jota. You just can't. You obviously can't say no to Salah and the same for Mane. So it would be Firmino who drops out for me. And Diaz would be the one I'd bring on first as well.
That's interesting. What do you guys think? Who would you have?
Oh, I'd agree with that. I think Jota's been absolutely brilliant for Liverpool. What a top signing that is. And obviously Diaz, disappointing that we couldn't get that one over the line. But I'd agree. I think you can't drop out Mane or Salah. But Jota over Firmino, definitely. I think Firmino would be my last choice. But like Mark said, I think it's so good now that Liverpool have so many options.
I don't think it's good.
I mean, how many times...
I know you don't.
I'm a hater.
How many times have we said that's what Liverpool lack is options?
Well, we used to have literally the three. We'd have Mane, Salah, Firmino. And if one of them were injured, we'd have like Milner filling in on the left wing or something. Yeah. So it's so much better now as compared to maybe 3-4 years ago when it was quite early on in Klopp's tenure. But even last year and the year before, one thing we've always lacked, always screamed it, is depth.
And we've got that.
The names that you forgot were Divo Origi and Minamino.
Yeah, but I didn't forget.
Oh, yeah, Minamino.
I don't think I forgot.
I love Divock. He will probably move on in the summer. And I mean, to be fair to him, I think he is a good player, but his career needs a move at this point.
He's not going to get the minutes he needs.
Exactly. And Minamino, as a sixth choice behind those five, Yeah, fair enough. But he's still he's like 27. Like, yeah, exactly. And he has another move in him as well. He's not going to get minutes at Liverpool, especially now.
Interesting.
Maybe it'll be a chance to like move on both of them and bring someone young through.
Yeah, well, we've we're already doing that with Kate Gordon.
Fabio Carvalho
should be coming in the summer. You had an interesting discussion about him on last week's episode. And obviously Harvey Elliott. So all three of them could play on the right in particular, but all three of them could cover multiple positions.
Because Harvey Elliott can play deeper as well, so his growth isn't...
Harvey Elliott's the one, by the way. And I can't remember if I said it on this podcast or if I said it somewhere else, but I really and truly think in 3 years' time we'll be top 10 players in the Prem.
You said it here.
Did I say it here?
Yeah.
I screamed that with chest.
Can I
really
ask another
that.
Question about the midfield for Liverpool?
Why are you asking me? Like, he's looking at me like...
You're the boss, innit? Sorry.
Dad, can I ask him?
You're the boss.
I've got eyes as well.
But you were looking at me like, wrap it up.
No, it wasn't.
All right. So Fabinho is definite to be a starter. So at the weekend, I think that was the first time we've ever seen Fabinho, Thiago and Keita when Keita came on. So
no, even with Keita started and Thiago came on.
Yeah, well, Thiago came on. So even with...
That,
Curtis
your question,
Jones,
that's
Harvey
that,
Elliott.
That's my preferred midfield three, if you're going to ask me that.
Not even Curtis Jones or Harvey Elliott.
That's the midfield three that I want to see. Now, it's the midfield three we haven't seen start together. So first of all, I just want to see that midfield three play a full 90 together. I think in terms of controlling the game and dictating tempo and keeping the ball, that midfield three is our best. It's a shame we don't get to see it enough, but obviously Harvey Elliott's going to make that right centre mid position his own over the years.
What does that mean for
over
Henderson?
The next few years? Well, he's at that age now where
he's been poor lately.
Regardless of being captain or not, he's at that age now where you can't expect to be starting.
He can't be a guarantee. Anyway. He can't be a guarantee starter.
How old is he now? Is he
31? So
yeah,
he's not young.
Milner's going to get an extension, eh?
Yeah, one year
deal.
I think that's a good
absolutely,
deal.
Absolutely, yeah, no.
Yeah, he's just
no
a, he's just
about
a
that one,
utility
yeah.
player, isn't it? So
and really good, he's in the, really good addressing.
Well, at this age, at this age now, isn't it? He's not going to be relied on to be starting. He just come on. He can fill in that right back, left back, right centre mid, left centre mid, holding midfielder.
He's a standout professional. Yes, he's good for the young players.
Cool. Why don't you be a coach then?
He could be. Why not?
He probably will get into coaching.
He will. He's doing his badges now.
I've been doing his badges for years. I don't think they'd want him, but I mean, maybe a move to Leeds wouldn't be a bad thing for him.
I actually genuinely thought that was going to happen when Leeds came up, and it just never materialised. And I think if it was going to happen, that would have been the time when they come up.
I would start Harvey Elliott alongside Thiago and Fabinho.
I would always start Harvey Elliott, but he's just, remember, he's off the back of a 6 month layoff.
Mm-hmm. But he didn't look like slowing down.
It does, of course, he's 18.
He's
only going to the top. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, and me saying my preferred midfield three at the moment is Fabinho, Thiago, Keita is not because I don't think Harvey Elliott should be in there. If I had it my way, he'd start 80% of games for Liverpool.
Yeah.
But that's just the midfield three that I want to see, and Harvey Elliott's got plenty of time. Yeah. Time's on his side.
Abdi, your question should have been the discussion we were having in the group about the Club World Cup.
Oh yeah, but I was being a bit sarcastic.
No, but you've always.
I just don't care that much for it because
it's a big. I disagree, but go on.
Maybe like I said it'd be different if my team ever got there. But like watching from afar, it's not something I'm gonna be. It's not like the Champions League final or any other final, European final that I'm gonna be watching.
But do you see it as a big trophy to win? No, you don't.
You know how like. People don't really see the Super Cup as a big trophy to win.
Mm. You know what? It's funny because you said this last week, and I think it was you, or I think it was this podcast that I was listening to when you kind of mentioned this, and you said blah blah blah. You were talking about Liverpool, and then you were like, "Yeah," and Klopp's won the two trophies there, and I was thinking, "Bro, he's won four."
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean,
so you just discounted that.
No, I'm saying it kind of backs up your point of like you don't really care, but
for me,
I think that Club World Cup is.
I think it's.
You're talking about the champions of all the continents in the world, and admittedly, right, I didn't have much interest in it this year.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the half of Chelsea semi final and a bit of the final,
but
when we were in it,
but you would never miss
your
Champions League final.
When you were in it.
You would never miss the Champions League final.
Yeah, exactly. Even as a neutral,
do you think it's because of the awkward time it comes?
Yeah.
Because, like, obviously, where it's played, like, it's been played in Japan, it's been played in, like, Saudi Arabia, has been played in all these places.
Kind of has to be though, spread across.
Making that sound xenophobic.
No, no, is what I'm
playing in foreign land.
No, it's not about being played.
Like that.
It's like because of the time difference. So yeah, obviously, like so. When it's played in Japan, it comes on early in the morning, yeah. And who's waking up Sunday morning thinking, you know what, I got to turn on Club World Cup?
Yeah, true.
Unless that's your club.
Tommy, our friend from Ifs and Buts, was there, at the semi and the final because obviously he lives.
Wait, he was in the stadium.
In the stadium, yeah. Because he lives an hour from Dubai.
He went to a bar that had all these Palmeiras fans. It's kind of awkward for him.
Oh my god,
he's the only Chelsea fan in there.
That's crazy.
That's amazing though. Like seeing your club become world champions.
He says that's as close to the 2012 Champions League final as anything like that.
And he was there as well, to be fair to him.
To be there, yeah. So.
So, but what I don't get is like, why do you not class it as like a? Because basically, essentially, the winner is the best team in the world. Like, yeah. if we're Champions League winner,
yeah. No, not necessarily, because I can sit here right now and say. Chelsea's Man City are a much better team than Chelsea.
Okay, but
so not the best. The best team doesn't always win the Champions League. So I think maybe I'd give it more credence if they had all the top. I mean, I guess I'm just describing the Super League, innit? So yeah. I guess
no. But what I mean is like that could be said about any tournament. For example, like the best team won't always win the tournament, but
the best team will win their league.
But essentially the. Well, that's where they go into the Champions League. And that's the same for all of the other continents where, you know, they have their version of the Champions League. But to win the Champions League, you're the best in the continent because you've won the trophy and then you've gone and now you're playing the best of the other continents. So essentially, you are best in the world. That's the title.
I mean, I guess so, grounded. But like, it's a similar concept to the Community Shield, but no one sees that as a trophy, do they?
Yeah, but I mean, but it technically is a preseason friendly. Yeah,
it doesn't even count.
This is like a mid-season friendly.
No, but it's not. It's official competition.
So the Community Shield is played between the FA Cup winners and the Premier League winners, right?
Yes.
So those are.
But the FA counts.
But it's not seen as like a proper
but
trophy.
The FA count it like if
it's not an official trophy.
No, but the FA don't count it as an official appearance.
Yeah, like so essentially it's just a
friendly,
yeah?
Yes. Yeah,
so this is just more of like a glorified friendly for me.
No, it's not.
You're not playing any good, really good teams, are you? Where would Palmeiras finish in the Premier League? I wouldn't think they'd finish top six.
Yeah, but you're taking a club out of the context of like the country that it plays in and putting it in the Premier League.
Nah, because
you can't
all of these
do
other
that for all the
so
other
wait,
clubs.
Are all the other teams that are in it, are they winners of their
Champions League?
Yeah, come on, you've got to give it some credit, surely.
No,
like, how can you take Palmeiras, who plays in a country where the money situation is a lot worse for clubs?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have as much money as the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
The players that play in Brazil aren't obviously of the stature that play in Europe because everything seems directed towards playing in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're taking them out of Brazil and putting them in the Premier League. Obviously, they're going to suffer. Get your
money up and then I'll run and I'll respect
it. No, but that doesn't make sense.
It does make sense in my mind.
Yeah, but you've got to think Chelsea have won the Champions League to get there. Yeah, so not any team can just be in this.
That's true. It's my personal opinion. I just don't see, I don't give it any, like, I just think it's like,
all right, so when
it's like winning.
Win it, are you going to discredit it?
No.
Wholeheartedly.
Key word. Use it when.
They could.
If Arsenal were to
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. You see his face? How can you not tell he's drawing us out?
No, I knew he was, but I just had to correct it for my own.
See, this is why it's a scumbag, isn't it? But let's move on.
Anyway.
We're talking about Liverpool, so.
We ended that one.
Yeah.
But I think I thought it was an interesting discussion, and I never really asked you about it before. Like, we had talked about it before. But for example.
It's just like I think if you're a Champions League winner, it's just like a plus one. It's
no,
not,
I don't think
it's not
so.
Too much difference.
We've seen
I don't
Chelsea,
see much difference between that and the Super Cup.
But we've seen Chelsea go there and lose to Corinthians.
Yeah.
You're not always guaranteed to win, are you?
Yeah, I know, but you would take the piss out of them if they lost to Corinthians.
I'll
take the piss out of Chelsea at any occasion. Bro, it's my personal opinion. Trying to beat me up until I give...
I'm actually just trying to have a conversation because, you know, we're doing a podcast.
Yeah, it's true, but I don't care.
Okay.
No, I don't care.
See,
if Arsenal get there, then I'll respect
it. No, because I wanted to have this discussion because I don't really know... us three are of the opinion that it's, you know, it's a good trophy kind of thing, but you're the only one who opposes it. But we can't have a conversation because you're not serious.
I'm serious.
You're not. I've literally just asked you a question. You're like, bro, you're beating me up with words.
He's had his phone out for ages. He wants to speak. Yeah, let him speak.
No, that's just not true, big man.
Okay, my bad. All right, so Liverpool. Do you want a
cheeky change of the subject?
No, okay. So big up Chelsea. They won the Super Cup. Since we were here, let's just talk about it. They won the Super Cup. I think it's a big trophy. I don't understand how, and I said it in a group. I don't understand how. And I probably maybe used the wrong word when I described it in the group. I said the arrogance of the Europeans don't really take it very seriously because maybe, as Abdi said, the level of competition.
All right. I respect it. Let's move on.
No,
about the game.
I'm not even talking about you. I'm just talking about, I'm just like.
The respect. Okay, go.
That's how I viewed it. That like in Brazil, in South America, it's this massive thing. If you, because they literally say like, you've won the World Cup, basically. Your team is the best in the world.
I was going to ask you, just before we move on, because we will move on, Abby, don't worry.
And this isn't about you. You didn't make up this trophy, so.
And this is a question to Junior. Yeah. What was the reaction like in Brazil when Chelsea won that? Was it almost heartbreak? Is that too far? Like,
I think there's two sides of it. I think one side is that a lot of Brazilians are really naive in the fact that they don't see that perhaps the European level of football is a lot higher than in South America.
Of course.
So
that's a given.
They believe that, for example, when they see like, for example, Chelsea win the Champions League, they'll be like, Chelsea won the Champions League. Oh my day, it's going to be easy kind of thing. They don't, they have this level of like, I don't know. They think that they're on par. But I don't see that. The other half is that there's a complete acceptance that the football level is different, like completely different. And for aspects that I talked about, which is the infrastructure, there's not a lot of money being put into, like from the government into these clubs to, you know, grassroots football, like you have here from the ground up. And then also the money that the clubs themselves have, other than like a Flamengo who just have like could just go out and buy as many players as they want and blah blah blah. So it is split. So a lot of them, like my cousin, he was going, "Oh, Chelsea are so rubbish. Like, how are they, bro? They're gonna lose to Palmeiras." And I was like,
"To be honest, though, if I'm from Brazil and I'm watching Chelsea for the first time in that final,
yeah, it wasn't
they haven't done the Prem much justice.
They were so boring,
tedious, and they have been for a lot of this season. I know they can't.
Palmeiras was boring as well, though."
But Palmeiras,
yeah, it was a boring game to be fair.
But Palmeiras, like, that's how they play. They play defensively and they play on the counter attack. So they rely
sounds like Chelsea.
They rely on their wingers, much like Chelsea. Yeah. And so it was, you know, it wasn't the prettiest final. But like I said, in Brazil, it was probably split. So when Chelsea did win, there was kind of an air of like, okay, yeah, acceptance. But then there was also like, how do we lose to Chelsea? Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of split in that way, like this duplicity of like Brazil or South American football is just as good as European football. And then the other side.
Do you think there's an element of your national team has notoriously been the best or the top 2-3 teams in the world all the time, every year? They're always up there. Do you think that's a case of, look, our national team is always the best, one of the best. Therefore, our club teams are of a certain level.
Yeah, I think
that
so.
Can compete with the Europeans, or am I just kind of?
No, I think you make a really good point. I think a lot of it does come from that because, like, a lot of the best players in the world have been like Argentinian, Brazilian. You know, it speaks a lot. So, like, a lot of people take that and they focus the lens even further and go, well, they come from Brazil. Our football is amazing, but when you watch Brazilian football, it's end-to-end stuff. Like, no team has control.
Damn.
Like, it's almost reminiscent of, like, the Bundesliga, kind of.
Oh. You,
like, don't get Abdi started. Don't get Abdi started.
And there you go. I'm never watching Brazilian football again.
No, but I think that's... But context needs to come into that. Like, the Bundesliga has a lot of, like, money poured into it. They've got grassroots football. Where in Brazil, it's really different. They don't have any of that. And a lot of, like, the players that you see become successful are street footballers. You know, so it's like there's not a lot of government money going towards that. So I think it's really different. But I do think that people are blindsided by their national teams. But then when you look at it, the majority of the players that play in the national team
play in Europe.
Play in Europe.
So I think there's this bit of like, I don't think they quite understand, like, oh yeah, like Ronaldo was made in Cruzeiro, but he doesn't play there anymore. Mm. And a lot of his better moments or best moments of his career were done at Barcelona, yeah. Real Madrid, Inter Milan.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think there is a little bit of like, maybe the delusion that they see their national team and then they think, you know, this is what it's like. But when you match the spending power of, like, for example, when Gremio went to the Club World Cup versus Real Madrid, they got Ronaldo, they got these incredible players, Benzema, and then the media absolutely hammer Gremio for sitting back for 90 minutes. Bro, if you go at Real Madrid,
yeah.
What do you expect?
Annihilation.
Especially that Madrid who won, what was it, three on the trot?
Yeah.
Three Champions Leagues and on the trot.
Because when you do get a team like Santos, the Santos that Neymar played in, which was an exciting attacking team, and then you match them against Barcelona, and you get annihilated 4-0.
Lights out.
I don't think that's respectful. Like, I get it. You played your own way, but you still lost
4-0. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a little bit of...
massive tangent.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Did you see, what's his name, when Havertz was going to take a pen?
Yeah,
Aspi held on to it. That was really clever, actually, because you know they were all up in his face, like, saying stuff, and then he waited till the referee told him all to go back. So he had his easy.
He knew what he was doing. That was clever captain's play.
You know, he's won everything in football now.
He's definitely a legend, Chelsea legend, for sure.
Who was it that came out this weekend and said...
It was who basically said he's a Neil Warnock.
Oh, yeah.
Neil Warnock. I don't know if you guys have heard about this.
Was he the one dissing the cup?
No, he came out. I don't know where this attack has come from or why he did it. But he basically came out and said that Azpilicueta is very lucky to have had the career that he's had.
Ooh.
Because he thinks he's so overrated, average, blah, blah, blah. This is Neil Warnock. And I just thought, whoa, where's this attack come from?
He must have been listening to our podcast. He goes, Abdi, that Abdi
how
guy.
How can he be lucky?
I was telling you about Aspi.
No, but he's like, that Abdi guy's onto something. Just pick a player and just go.
But Aspi, he survived like 16 managers.
He's the one mainstay of that club. Yeah.
And he's been captain as well. No, that's unfair.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. So we don't have a spotlight game this week, but... we'll start off with Liverpool.
Ever since Mark left.
Ever since. All right, well, so obviously I saw the agenda, so thank you for sending that in advance, Abdi. As you always do. I don't know why I said that. Like we just turn up and like I just. So what I'm going to do is I'll just run you through results since I've last been here, which I think has been.
If you talk about Carabao Cup, we'll fight
a while.
Can we just talk about Burnley?
I might have. So there was. The furthest back was a 3-1 win away to Palace in the Premier League. Pretty easy, actually, in the end, that game, in comparison to what you'd usually expect going away to Palace. So that kind of brought us onto a run of 5 wins on the trot since I've been gone. Next one was obviously 2-0 win away at Arsenal in the Cup. Then it was a 3-1 win at home to Cardiff in the FA Cup. And then just recently a 2-0 win at home to Leicester in the league and then a 1-0 win away to Burnley in the league on Sunday.
So you've won every game, essentially.
We've won every game since I've been gone. So it's actually been a shame that I'm not here to run... I was going to say gloat and I thought, let me switch that
don't
up
worry,
a bit.
I said it for you.
And then I've also got here, obviously, we signed Luis Diaz, Harvey Elliott's back to full fitness. So we're in a good spot heading into what I think, and I said it at the time, is a very tough, probably the toughest game we could have got. Against Insta. Sometimes I just like to add my own little twang in it.
Insta, yeah.
Insta. so we're playing Instagram, Instagram away. We got Inter away on Wednesday night.
I can't wait for that game. I'm so excited.
We're going into that. Like I said, I've just read you through our results. So form wise, we're going into that. Well, personnel wise, we're going into that the strongest we've been. Maybe in Klopp's tenure.
Yeah.
So it's all looking good for that doubleheader against Inter. But toughest draw we could have got. And there's no away goals anymore, which will be very interesting.
Yeah. I hate that they've done that. I really
was personally a fan of the away goal.
No,
that.
I was not.
I
know, because it knocked you out a couple of times.
Yeah, well, not aside from that. The away goals rule, it doesn't seem to be... What are you laughing at, man? You're a Tottenham fan. Goodness me. She's all belly laughing. Like her team didn't go Champions League final and out of it 30 seconds in. listen, got to the final at least. Well, I've been to the final as well. We've done that already, man. Anyway,
you can use that with like
it just triggered me when she started laughing just now, like her team isn't Tottenham.
I wouldn't anyway. Expected it anyway.
Anyway, but like the away goals was because it was seemed to be, it was perceived to be a harder thing to win or get a goal away from home. But now, what difference is it? Some would say it's harder to get a clean sheet away from home. It's harder to it's easier to defend a clean sheet when you're at home.
Well, what I think that does do, sorry for getting you straight back in. What I think that does do though, which I think is unfortunate, and we'll see whether I'm right or not, it just means that the away team has kind of less impetus to go out there and grab a goal. There's not much emphasis on getting a goal. So if you could take a 0-0 draw back to your home ground and all you've got to do is win the game, 1-0, 2-1, 3-1.
I just feel like this would mean that the better team will win, always.
I
hear
that.
But you could argue that the better team always wins.
Nah, not in away goals. Like, certain teams will be like, the better team would know that though.
I just think you get more of an entertaining game as well.
No, I don't think away goals is not interesting. Like winning on away goals, like it doesn't. Yeah. Like because you know back in the day, when you used to go away from home, if you go away to like Dynamo Kiev or like places in Russia where it was just like the facilities were worse. And now everyone's going to a 5-star hotel. You're like you get driven to the stadiums. The stadiums are in perfect condition. It's not the same as when it was.
They used to jog to the stadium before.
I guess so. Yeah.
I mean, I think the way
they used to walk in military position. Yeah.
I think the way I would have changed it is that I would have kept the away goal, but have it only come in effect after extra time. So, like for example, if the games ended like 3-3,
but I hear that and I thought about that, but then that means only one team gets the chance. It gets an extra 30 minutes to score an away goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the other team gets an extra 30 minutes to win the game.
But like they both score one goal each, then the away team would go through, but they would have had the extra half an hour to get an away goal.
Because there wouldn't be extra time in the first leg. So it would only be in the second leg. So
yeah, I understand.
Yeah, so then you're given an extra impetus because like you could be... Or you could have won the first leg 1-0 and then lose the second leg 2-1. You're 2-0 down. You just need one goal in the extra 30 minutes and you go through, even though
That's the same, like, for example,
they do. I know you used to do that in the Carabao Cup.
Do you remember, when Arsenal played AC Milan, where they beat us 4-0 at San Siro and we went, and then at the Emirates, we won 3-0?
Yeah.
Wait, that's a bad example.
I was thinking the maths doesn't add up.
There was one that we went out.
It was Bayern. It was Bayern.
We've gone out on extra time.
I know you've gone out to Bayern on extra
Bayern bare time
on away goals.
But I'm talking about on away goals.
Specifically on away goals.
Yeah, we lost.
Was it Monaco as well?
Monaco, we lost on away goals.
So like we've gone there. Like oh yeah, the Monaco one. We lost 3-1 and then we won 2. We won 2-0 away. So Monaco, all they have to do is hold on for 30 minutes, but as well, they can score, but we also get the chance to add because we were the better team in that game. As they were in the first leg, they were the better team. Do you know what I mean? It just gives... because if you... I don't know, it's just...
But then that, I hear your point, but then that would have given Arsenal 30 minutes.
Exactly. You gave Monaco 90 minutes, we get 120. You gave Monaco... They get a 90-minute game.
To score an away goal.
And we get 120, so that's unfair. I just think away goals is stupid anyway. That's the end of the story. I don't like
that. But end of that conversation is that this is the first Champions League in however long I can remember that away goals don't mean a thing. So, you know, we've got straight knockout ties. Whoever scores the most goals goes through.
That's where you guys will be. That's where you guys come in because it's goals.
We'll see. Inter are missing Barella, key man in the middle of the park, just for the first leg, which will be a loss for them. They've got players who can step in, obviously, but not of the same quality, even under
the new manager Inzaghi.
Inter are playing really good football. That's why I'm saying it's the toughest draw we could have got. And it's even more annoying. I know this was months back. Do you remember how they fumbled the draw?
Yeah.
Originally, we got Salzburg, but here we are with Inter. Like I said, tough game, but I'm confident.
Yeah, you just need to get it back to Anfield, that's it, really. And it's curtains. And it's the second leg, isn't it? So even if you are 3-0 down...
You just need to get...
That's what Liverpool just need to do. Be still in the tie by the time it gets to Anfield. It's curtains.
Oh, it's the first leg at Inter?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Even if it's 3-0 down, they're still in with a shot because they got goals and it's a cheat code with Anfield.
Let's talk about the football that actually happened. Liverpool played Burnley.
Mm-hmm.
Tough game.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. They gave us a proper game.
It's always, I mean, I hate Burnley because they're just.
I think they're gonna stay up.
They're just boring because they don't do anything other than annoy you and defend.
I mean, it was weird because I was watching this game thinking there were on a couple of occasions Burnley played some decent football. Couple. That's as far as I'm gonna go. And other than that, we all know why they brought in the big 6'9" guy up top. So they can lump balls up to him and then and then.
But he's got a good touch.
Win the second and third balls. He's got great touch for a big guy.
I don't know what he was doing with
that
jumper.
He's got technique, but there were on a couple of occasions he probably should have scored.
Yeah, I don't know why he tried to chip it.
So yeah, there was a chip. There was one he put wide of Alisson's post. There were a number of them that were offside.
Well, that's why he doesn't play for a bigger club.
But yeah, an interesting story about this, and I don't know if we want to get into this, but you guys spoke about Weghorst last week and why Burnley signed him, or why he went to Burnley. Because you know in the last 5 years, he's second top goal scorer in Germany, only behind Lewandowski.
Really?
The only reason
he went to Burnley is because they were the only club who said to him, we'll accept you as an unvaccinated player. That's the only reason he went to Burnley. He had suitors all over Europe. There were a lot of clubs after him, but no one was willing, other than Sean Dyche, to say,
so he's
I don't really care.
I think that's desperate.
That is like so Sean Dyche, isn't it, bro?
That's proper Sean Dyche.
So Sean Dyche. He's like, well, this COVID isn't real, is it? He's like, I've had a sore throat for 50 years, mate.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's a true story. So there's an interesting twist to that one. But honestly, I don't think 2 years ago he would have even dreamt of the possibility of playing championship football in England. But honestly, I see them going down. They're 7 points adrift. I know they've got two games in hand. Yeah.
That's the thing. They had at one point they had 5 games in hand on Burnley, but they're not Watford, sorry. And they're not winning any games. So that's the thing, like, they can have all these games in hand, but we don't back them to win the games. I don't expect them to win any of these games.
But,
so,
you know, football can turn around really quickly. Like, look at Newcastle now, 4 points ahead of...
Crazy Newcastle. Well, at the moment.
It's weird.
Well, let's just hope Burnley go down.
I'd like them to go down.
I'm with you on that one.
I think Burnley really missed a trick not signing Orsic. I think that...
Yeah, that would have helped them massively.
Because
he's a top player.
They've added Weghorst, but even their top scorer, Wood, he wasn't getting many chances to score... the three goals that he usually gets a season or whatever he gets.
He's still playing Aaron Lennon. Like, Aaron Lennon is 37 years old.
You know, he actually, it was so weird. He dropped Dwight McNeil for the first time this season.
Yeah,
against us. He come on for the last half an hour, but it was straight Lennon on the right. I don't even know.
Cornet was playing on the left. And then up front, it was Rodriguez. And
that was it.
I feel sorry for Cornet. He must be looking around like, what am I doing here?
Well, he's done his reputation no harm. And he will not struggle to get a move when and if Burnley go down.
Yeah. I think if he goes down, I wouldn't... Arsenal, man. Arsenal should just be looking at Cornet and be like...
But that was a good result they got against Man United.
Boy, it was a really good result for us at Turf Moor because the conditions were horrible. It was windy, it was wet. It was proper Burnley. Like, they probably woke up, rubbed their hands, looked outside the window and thought, God, this is a bit of us today.
Sean Dyche was like, let me take off my shirt.
Sean Dyche was loving it.
But Fabinho, he's turning up with the goals this season.
5 in 7.
What?
Five in seven.
He's pulling off a Gundogan.
Pulling off. No, I don't know where they're coming from, but that's another one against Burnley. And boy, I'm not gonna lie and say it was a nice goal. This was scrappy, this goal.
When he was playing for Monaco, he was more of like a box to box, wasn't he?
You take them all.
Well, I mean, he could play right back. He's actually known as a bit of a technique man. Not of that calibre, but...
He used to take three kicks for them as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So, but now he's just made that number six role his own. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the 5 in 7 is...
It's kind of mad, isn't it?
It's nice. It's nice to have goals kind of being chipped in from everywhere, but that's taken me by surprise. Like, even when he scored on Sunday, I was like, he's done it again.
He's a better striker than Lacazette.
He's probably got more than him this season.
On that tangent,
did you know that you are one of the only clubs in England or the Prem who have yet to have a player hit double figures for goals this season in all comps combined.
In all comps,
Smith Rowe on nine.
Nine, yeah.
And Lacazette on 7 or something. Not a single player has hit double figures, which I would...
Interesting.
I mean,
unlike you, we share out the goals. To be fair, they share out the goals as well. So I don't know what you're talking about.
But we'll get on to that. Arsenal didn't even play this week, so maybe we'll have a quick couple of minutes.
We did play. Huh? Play Wolves.
Yeah, we played
on Thursday.
Yeah, 1-0.
Oh, but that was a separate game week. But yeah, you did. Yeah.
Well, it's a catch up.
It's been the last 7 days, yes or no?
Maybe.
But it's because we don't score that many goals. We win. Yeah. We tend to win 1-0 or 2-0.
No, but that was the point I was going to make, actually. The fact that you're still in arguably the strongest position for that top four.
Yeah, definitely. And after that,
I mean, whoever's in the strongest position changes week by week. I know.
We've got 3 games in hand, and it's Tottenham, Liverpool, and Chelsea.
Mad. And using your own sentences against you, you'd rather have the points on the board than the games in hand, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm. But no one,
but I've been all the others are no one wants like idiots, man.
No one wants it. Like,
no one wants it.
This top four race is
but
shambolic.
It's what I said right at the beginning, and I maintain it. It's whoever could be most consistent.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest, at the moment, it's Arsenal. Looking like Arsenal.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we're
definitely
consistent are. Because we're not playing that many games.
So people have forgotten the mess that we...
But that Wolves thing was big.
Three Premier League games since the beginning of Jan.
You've got like 2 games in the next 2 months.
Yeah.
But that Wolves game was a big result. Considering, and we'll touch on this as well, considering what they went and did a couple of days after against Spurs, away at Spurs, the result was impressive.
Yeah, let's just talk about it. Like, another red card.
I've never seen that before. Like that Arsenal. I think for the first time, I completely agree with Arteta what he said in the post-match interview. He's like, technically is a red, but you have to be very willing to give it.
Yeah, you have to. I think the only reason he could give it is because he played advantage, so therefore it was a new phase of play.
Yeah,
but I think one of the arguments is that if Martinelli knows that he's on a yellow card, he won't push Semedo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it was a
I agree
harsh,
with that. The first foul was the push,
and then the second one was the.
That's the same thing, man.
He'll learn. The second one, I can't lie, he just did was stupid.
It was stupid.
Regardless of whether it was a yellow or not.
But I think one good thing I've noticed, is that Arsenal, I'm not even acting like a conspiracy theorist, but it's crazy the amount of yellow card, instant, our players are getting one foul, yellow card. Like both Xhaka and Partey got booked for their first foul in the first half. Wolves, they can do many different fouls and they're not getting booked. And it's happened to us a lot this season. I'm the last person to say, there's a conspiracy against Arsenal and all that stuff and start acting like there's an agenda against us. But I mean, the way it's happening too often, because if you look at the number of fouls, ours is way down and the amount of cards we're getting.
And the number of red cards compared to the number of tackles that we make.
We're
one of the lowest tackling teams in the league. Compared to how many cards we have, both yellow and red.
And in that video that's been going viral this week is Michael Oliver was reffing a game, and it was one of the Brighton players. I don't know if it's Gross or Proper, one of those two. Yeah, there's a counter attack from the team. He grabs the first one, swings him around, and the other one he hacks him down.
That was worse, definitely like worse than Martinelli's.
The only and thing, Michael Oliver was the manager. It was the referee of that game.
The rules did change from the start of this season.
There you go. The only thing I was going to say about that is we don't know if he played advantage or not.
He didn't get a double booking though.
The rules do say that if you give advantage and the play stops and you were going to book the player, it has to go back to the first foul, so which is the Pedence one. So Martinelli, that phase should have gone all the way back to Pedence being pushed and Martinelli being booked for that one.
But it must have pleased you, that grit going into that last 20 minutes, 1-0 up, 10 men.
We don't praise him a lot, but Arteta... brought on Rob Holding, who made 9 blocks in 13 minutes.
Defend, boy, because
or 18 minutes, how many other minutes he played. But he just came on and literally headed and blocked away every single thing.
Yeah, I don't know how Wolves didn't score, but you know what? Credit to
To be fair, they didn't really pepper our goal.
This needs to stop. I've seen it everywhere. Oh, Wolves, they pressured Arsenal. They did this. They didn't create anything. The only thing I can remember is the Saiz chance that
Ramsdale good save.
That was it. They didn't create a single thing after that. Yeah. Oh, Wolves were unlucky. Unlucky with what?
Wolves don't score that many goals though. So at home especially, they're not scoring that many
goals. And they don't concede, which is that's the basis of their success.
But to hold on for that long, because when did the red card happen? I'm sure there was
early in the second.
60.
Yeah, there was still time on the clock. So
had about half an hour with 10 men. Yeah, and then obviously you got idiot up front, Lacazette. Yeah, Gabriel plays an amazing ball. Yeah, he's in behind, and then you're not a serious striker if you're doing that, man. Like, and I said that at that moment, I was like, I can't bear 16 more games of Lacazette.
If you're doing what?
But what are you going to do? Because
he missed. Like, he was
one on one with the keeper.
He puts it wide, but you have to at least hit the target.
Mm. But what are you going to do? What's the solution? Because you've got Nketiah.
I'd rather just have Martinelli up front, but he's banned.
Smith Rowe on the left, 10, Saka.
Go with the young boys in
Martinelli,
yeah.
Well, can Pepe play striker?
Well, he's actually a really good finisher. So
I'm telling you, you watch this.
I'll fight everyone on this table. don't say, oh, Lacazette, and then Pepe me. I don't hear that nothing.
I do find it strange that he doesn't get any game time whatsoever.
Yeah, to be fair, he probably would have came on in this game, but obviously things changed, and we went down to 10 men.
I think he might get game time against Brentford, but...
No, I think Smith Rowe just coming.
No, I'm not saying he's going to start. I'm just saying he's going to get game time.
Yeah,
but I would be willing to try Pepe up top.
No,
he doesn't hold the ball, and he's
a clown.
Yeah, but his finishing is way better.
But so's Lacazette.
I don't know if he's a clown.
Honestly, if you're asking me if I'm having Pepe or Lacazette, I'm just going to have to suffer with Lacazette.
what I'm saying is, he's actually a very good finisher. Do you disagree with that, Abdi? Do you think Pepe's a good finisher?
I refuse to answer. He's all right finisher, but he's not like, there's more than just being a finisher.
I know there's more than being a finisher, but I'm just saying, at least in the finisher aspect, I think he would have tested Sarr at least as opposed to just kicking it wide.
Maybe.
Anyway, it's a rock and a hard place, but yeah, very happy with the 1-0.
Good. Right. Give me both one word answer, each of you, and then we'll move on. Top four, is it happening?
Oh my God.
Honestly, no.
Yeah, no.
I've said it to him. I've said it before. I don't think so.
You don't? No?
No.
I'll ask you again in 3 weeks' time.
Nah.
I honestly think at this stage, your January transfer market was
-5.
For a team, for a club who's trying to get back on a certain pedestal and reach a certain level again, you should have looked at that table and thought, this is the chance to get back into the top four. This is it. And to not strengthen could be the thing that comes back and bites you. But I do think you're in the best position.
Me personally, it's just goals. I don't think all the other teams, they seem to have at least one person who can score consistently. And we don't have that at the moment. So I'll take that.
No, I think because you're so strong defensively.
We're not that strong defensively.
I'm really impressed with the likes of Ben White, who I criticised the amount of money he spent on him. But I tell you what, he's a top signing.
I'd like to take this opportunity.
Tomiyasu's a good signing as well. Yeah. I think you're right. The lack of goals is a bit of a concern. But you have to say, looking at Man United, they're looking dead. Spurs, we're absolutely shocked.
I need to see them in the Conference League. I have to see it.
Arsenal are the favoured team.
When Ronaldo's getting taken off at 60 minutes against FC,
he won't be at Man United. Bratislava, he'll leave.
I'd like to take this moment to officially apologise to Ben White.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, fair.
I apologise for calling him Ben Shire.
And the thing is, he's played every game for the last 3-4 months. So he hasn't even missed one game at all. Good. Playing right back, playing centre. Like, he's been
quite good. But I will say, double slit in the eyebrows, not a fan of that.
I think the thing that epitomises Benjamin White is...
Oh, man,
you've got to call him Benjamin,
Benjamin.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said, my name's Benjamin. So.
Bruh.
But he don't know... I'm going to keep calling him Ben White. That would annoy me as Arsenal. How can you not know Patrick Vieira? You don't know him, you know?
No, I watched an interview with Ben White when he signed for Arsenal, and he says outside of playing football, he's never has and never will actually watch or take an interest in football, which I thought was a bit weird for a professional footballer. But
I mean, we've seen that a lot of times. But I think the thing that epitomises him is that the last home game we had was against Burnley. And it was like the 90th minute or close to. And he ran from... We had a corner and... Burnley had a counter attack, and literally he ran from their box to our box to make a clearance, and then literally he was dragging himself up.
He literally couldn't. He was hobbling.
He was he was breathing heavy, and he couldn't move. And then the final whistle came, and he dropped to his, he dropped on the floor. He just gave it all, and I think we haven't had something like that for a long time.
Captain potentially, or
well, I don't know.
Really.
It's too soon.
You're going to announce a proper permanent one in the summer.
When he came off,
Rob Holden.
Oh, it was Holden. Oh, okay, what Xhaka?
Oh,
okay.
No, it was Rob.
Oh no, they absolutely cannot give it back to Xhaka. I think Arteta, in his heart, he wants to give it to Xhaka, but he's like, I can't. The fans will kill me.
All right. We spent too long on Arsenal. Let's talk about everyone's. I was going to talk about Man United.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's talk about United. Because I need a little bit of...
I was going to say, we could all do with the boost and talking about how great is Man United.
I love it. Honestly, Man United, I'm Man United losing, I don't know what it is yet. It's a different feeling, man. It's a different kind of feeling. I love it.
Well, they haven't lost.
It's a high. It's a high. Well, I mean, them dropping
they
points
basically
being
might as well
bad.
Have lost.
The Birmingham
away all
one
these
was
leads.
Funny. Yeah. The Southampton one was funny. I don't know where the English media have, you know, found in themselves to say that Sancho is finally enjoying his, like, enjoying
I'm sorry,
the
we need
League.
To call this out, right? He's been a flop. I yeah, don't care. He's been a flop.
Yeah, he has.
No excuses.
He's been improved in the last couple of
Yeah,
games,
but the media are starting to say, like, he's...
No,
he's arrived,
flop.
But...
No.
Flop. I think
he's just not been as bad as the rest of his teammates.
And he scored a tap in.
Do you know who's looked good for Man United? Pogba.
Since you're going to say someone else.
And also, can we just say, like, I think the moral of the story, especially when on this podcast,
moral of the story.
Is I'm always right.
Oh, my God.
Because when I said McTominay from day one, I was right. When I said Maguire day one, I was right. You said it as well, but yeah. Okay. When I said flipping Bruno,
McTominay again?
McMayonnaise. Bruno, a.k.a. Mark, he's been...
Mark, I'm joking. If you don't beat him up, I'm going to lose respect for you.
We're going to scrap.
You see what Bruno's scrap. On? Honestly, if you have a midfield three of Bruno, Pogba and McTominay, it's unfair on Pogba. It's literally unfair because one guy doesn't want the ball and another guy who uses the ball like a rocket launcher. It's literally like blast it 45 yards in the air, go catch it. And then most importantly, certain people calling him his GOAT. What did I tell you?
Oh,
this guy is so washed. Ronaldo is washed. Yeah.
You know, but that's obvious. He's
that's obvious. Yeah. You still come here and say he's your GOAT.
Yeah, I would still say he's the GOAT.
He's washed.
But not based on what he's doing now. Obviously not, because he's older and he can't do what he used to do.
He is 36 or 37.
That was just a PR signing.
Just recently.
What I'm saying is my GOAT is out here doing bits right now.
Match of the Day did a really good bit of analysis on Man United's
really?
Present. No, I swear. Like, I was surprised. They did a really good piece. I don't know. I didn't pay.
It wasn't them. It was the analyst who did it. They just read it out.
Yeah. But like Man United is pressing. They had like 4 or 5 clips where as soon as Man United lose the ball, Sancho, Rashford, they're walking.
Yeah.
They're not even like
That's
running back.
So
and
bizarre.
So like when Kojo came on here and he said, oh, people have this fascination with saying that Ronaldo doesn't press. So that's why we're losing. None of them do.
Rashford defensively, he wasn't contributing
hiding.
At all.
All of them in midfield hide. They did like this thing. Every time Man United had the ball in tight spaces and Southampton pressed, there was not one midfielder who showed in space to collect the ball and help like move it out wide or play it back.
Did you see?
They look progressively worse every single
week. Do you know what
it is?
They're all a bunch of massive brats. And their big egos. When the next manager comes in, they need to give the manager the chance to say, you know what, if you're not going to work hard, go. Because this is Man United and there's players strolling around, walking. It ain't good enough.
It just gets better every week.
Every time Man United go 1-0 up, I have no doubt that the team's going to go.
Yeah, literally.
It's because Man United, just, like you said, they don't know how to control a game. Yeah. Like I said, 2 out of 3 midfielders aren't secure in possession. You've got Pogba, who's got an overload of in terms of like his responsibility, what he needs to do. He needs to get it off the back foot and help with creating the final third as well. And the only person who can play progressive passes. You've got the two wide players, like you say, they're not pressing and they're not helping defensively. So the fullbacks play in isolation and they're not that good.
Yeah.
And then there's no overlap helping with the attackers as well. And then the biggest problem is it's complete fridge at the back who just keeps every single week in week out making a fatal error.
You know what, shout out to Paul Merson actually, because he said it from the and I don't really want to shout him out because he chats a load of waffle at times, but he was right about Harry Maguire.
I was right back at the start
true.
Of podcast
you
when I
said
they
said
wasted 80 million, but
you put him in the top 5 as well.
Yeah, well, okay. We all make mistakes. But that meme of where, like, you know when Breuer did the turn and...
He tried to...
I watched that live, bro. I watched that and immediately I knew that's getting turned.
Do you know what he looked like? Do you know in Squid Game when the guy's about to fall over? And even for the goal, Varane, I thought, was the most at fault for the goal.
Yeah, he was.
Because
he's looking mad as
he's
well.
He's looking shaky.
Just watch that goal again and just watch Maguire and Shaw. Luke Shaw, he's got an obsession. He's got an obsession with Maguire. He has to hold hands with him at all points. So that's why they're always, like, the winger is always in massive space on Luke Shaw's side. And then Maguire, I don't know, he just gets his rushes of blood, where he tries to step up. You're not quick enough to do that, bro. And then he turns around, and then you know what he's like when he's turning as well. And he literally, when he's running backwards, is hilarious. He's like, just watch him, and then he's your entertainment for the whole game.
Oh, my days.
But I have to give massive credit to Broja. Like, he's some player.
He bullied us when we played. He's unbelievable.
He looks like Lovren. He looks like Lovren, and he plays like Diego Costa. So.
He literally doesn't look like Lovren. He looks like a young Lovren.
No, he doesn't.
I'm not saying the way he plays. I'm saying physically, he looks like Lovren. Go look at a picture of Lovren. You'd think
what,
he's
a young Lovren. He does not look like a young Lovren.
He does at all. No, he doesn't.
He does. He's got the same features.
Literally nothing similar.
You're saying you studied it, yeah?
Yeah. I didn't just come out of this off the top of my head, innit? This like, is with some research.
It's like when you said Mark looked like Bruno. Like nothing.
The listeners don't know what Mark looks like, innit?
But yes, they do. There's literally a cartoon of him.
It's Oliver Mark. Okay, big up Mark.
Oh, I thought you said Oliver. I'm thinking what?
I did think that too.
What are you talking about? Broja. What I like about him is he's technically. I said it before, like really early in the season. He's physically he's up to the level. And he's very technically secure, and he's a fighter up front
Chelsea
as well.
Isn't take him back,
you saw what he did, what Tottenham did when Emerson tried to kill him.
Yeah.
like you just said, it's a really good point. Yeah. Chelsea, they have no other option but to bring him back because they're not scoring many goals.
He's going back anyway.
No, but yeah. I mean, like they can't. I wouldn't like. Even some people might say Gallagher should stay at Palace. That's more of a question. Whereas Broja, I don't think it's a question. You have to recall him because you don't. They don't have enough. Goals up front as it is. Lukaku's not firing. Havertz not firing. Werner, but, we know what
so
Werner's
what,
about.
So you spent 97 million on a player that, what, you're just going to keep on the bench afterwards?
Chelsea can't waste money.
The thing is, if you've got an academy, regardless of how much you paid, we've got 72 million on the bench. If you've got an academy product who's better than him, then you'd always play him.
Yeah, but Pepe was more of a risk than Lukaku.
Well, on paper. Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point, but I would still say, like, Broja, he's too talented to not keep him.
I agree.
I agree with him, but I'm just taking him back, I think.
No, 100%. He goes back from his loan spell anyway at the end of the season, but I don't know, from a perspective of we've spent 97 million on this player who is supposed to take us to the next level, and then what, he's just going to be on the bench.
Yeah.
Well, and Broja, he might want to
And we've already seen Lukaku playing, did an interview in Italy, this in the club. Imagine if he's on the bench. What
but then
do.
Right now, if you had Broja, if Broja was about,
it's gonna make a diss track, bro.
It's true. If Broja was about, then they would have just brought Broja in. But the options are Havertz and Werner.
Yeah.
So I mean, they've sort of been pushed into a corner.
Werner
they can't do anything.
On in the Club World Cup was funny, man.
Yeah. So
that guy's still around.
But also, I want to give praise to some other Southampton players. Like just watching them, it's loads of players going under the radar. Like. Salisu, the centre-back, he's been playing very well recently.
He's decent. Very decent
what's his name? El Yunusi. He was out on loan last year. I think he went to Celtic.
He went to Celtic.
So he's come back.
To give him credit where it's due, Carl Walker-Peters.
Yeah. I know. But he's got a bloody chicken royale.
But that is elite. That is right.
Chicken royale.
I like that partnership now. The partnership they've got up front, Che Adams and El Yunusi. You've got a lot of different Che Adams. And Che Adams, he's in form. He's the one who's scoring loads of goals.
That was a great finish. That is so satisfying.
When you add it to the header against Tottenham, he's the two of them up front together. Southampton historically played two up front all the time. They brought in Armstrong in the summer, but now those two, they've got a vast array of different talents.
They're very good to watch as well.
It's interesting because before, when we were starting, at the start of the season, we were talking about, it seems like everybody wants to go down. Yeah. But now it seems like none of them want to go down, and we finally have a good relegation.
We're going to have a crazy. It was going to be relegation battle top four. Because if City drop any points, then you might have a little battle at the top there, all leading into the last few games of the season.
Because you've got Burnley, Watford, Southampton, Everton, Newcastle. There's one more team I'm forgetting who are in that mix.
Norwich,
Brentford.
But did you guys hear as well that
they were down there.
Ralph Hasenhüttl has come out and said basically, I think he's got about 3 years left on his Southampton contract. He said he's gonna. That's it for him.
Really?
He said he doesn't want to manage into his old age. He's got. I think he's got three more years on his Southampton deal, and then he said
retire.
He said he wants. He said he doesn't want to go and manage into. He wants to enjoy his later life.
What?
Ask him in 3 years' time what he says, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll ask. Have you asked him
when 8 million a year goes to 0 million?
Has he met Roy?
No, Roy is a polar opposite.
He's like, I don't want to be Roy.
He's not even old, is he? He's acting like he's bloody 80.
And also, that's the first time. That's the first time I've ever had two ex-Leipzig managers playing against each other. And first time, both managers are called Ralf.
Oh, yeah.
There's my pointless stats for the week. I'm done. Don't patronise me.
You get spoken to like a three-year-old.
Well done.
So, just quickly, I want to talk about Man United, and they've got Atletico in the Champions League. What are we saying for that?
I know you're anti Simeone.
Mm-hmm. I love that guy, man.
But I really want Atletico to smack Man United upside
the
head.
Can you imagine him celebrating as well?
You'll be interested because that game. I know he's not. I know Abdi just had our little passage about him, but that game screams for me. Ronaldo's going to do something. Yeah. He'll probably win that game.
I would happily accept Ronaldo scoring and doing this in front of Simeone.
Wow, that's big coming
but
from
funnily
Simeone.
Funnily enough, watched United, a lot of their games recently, and there's nothing at all about that United team that suggests to me that they could go out and win that over two legs. Yeah. So I'm at a tangent almost where it's like, I feel like Ronaldo is going to produce one of those moments.
Yeah.
Maybe one of his final... the final ones of his career.
You did say, I think it's time for him to go MLS.
He's not allowed to enter America.
Oh, yeah, he can't compete.
He's got a crazy stat against Atletico, isn't it? It's like,
that's why I say it, because there's that whole history, particularly when he was at Juventus and they played Atletico in the knockouts.
And he scored that volley.
And Atletico won the first leg and then the second leg was Ronaldo. Maybe Ronaldo, but United aren't good enough, in my eyes, to win that game, so I'm not. So for me, it's kind of just like, just watch it and see what happens.
I want Atletico to go through and then them to get like someone like Liverpool and smash them up.
No,
like
give me Atletico in the quarters. If we get through, give me Atletico. I've got unfinished business for them.
They're sixth place in La Liga. You know, they're like 15 points away from Real Madrid. It's crazy.
Jesus.
Which is mad considering Real Madrid. I haven't necessarily. They're not the best, lighting up that La Liga this season, to be honest. No one is.
They got smacked up by Barcelona last week, bro.
Yeah, literally.
No, what?
That's a couple weeks ago, yeah. They lost 4-2.
To be fair, that's why we
you're talking about Atletico.
Oh, yeah, I think we're talking about
not Real Madrid.
Did you say Alan Traore?
Adama.
Alan,
I heard he's falling out. Alan Traore.
He's got two assists.
Two assists in two games. His Barca career started well.
Yeah, let's take out any
prejudgments. His Barca career started
very well.
The next
La Liga game, if he gets a third assist, he'll be the first player, the second player this century to get three assists in three games for Barcelona.
Yeah, we should have taken him.
At the start of their Barcelona career, the only other player to do that was Neymar.
There's your Messi replacement, Adama Traore.
And Aubameyang.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Aubameyang.
Barcelona are just so bad. I tried to watch their game against it. I turned it off because I was bored. Like, how does it make? Like, I don't want to watch football
apparently
anymore.
Apparently, they're trying to get Iniesta back.
In the team,
to play.
Yeah, to play.
2012. Xavi's gonna be like, "I'm Frankie Dion going on the bench, bro.
Might as well start calling up Puyol and he's like."
Jesus.
Victor Valdez.
Because Danny Alves is back as well.
Iniesta still plays
Danny
in Japan,
Alves
just as an asterisk.
Yeah. No, I know. He does.
He's like 48 years old.
Bringing up Gavin Veeran and
taking a piss.
Cazorla's out there as well. Might as well bring him as well.
Nah, that's piss take. Yeah.
Sorry, Tanya.
Oh no, do we have to talk about
it? Yeah, it's the next thing on the agenda. It's like a band-aid. Just rip it off.
And do you remember when she did that voice?
This is the first time he's ever lost three in a row. Is that right?
No, yeah. First time since
2009.
2009 when he was at
Siena.
Siena.
Siena?
He was a manager of Siena.
Why is it so difficult for me to understand? Atalanta, though. Oh, I don't know.
He's never managed Atalanta.
Anyway.
I'm going to
Google that.
Yeah, Mosk. No, Siena or Bari or something like that, yeah.
I didn't know there was a team called Siena. That's why I'm a bit like, whoa.
But Siena
there might be. No, you're not getting away with that.
You were at the game. Tell us.
I was at the game.
Well, you were at the Wolves game, not the
I was at the Wolves game.
Let's start with the Southampton game.
Yeah, the Southampton game. Jesus. Look, I think it's fair to say the Antonio Conte honeymoon phase, whatever you want to call it, is over. That doesn't surprise me because I actually think he was overachieving. I think we were kind of scraping wins a little bit. The issues have always been there. We didn't address the issues in the transfer window. Southampton, they absolutely bullied us. I mean, the first half, we couldn't get a hold
just
of
quickly,
the game.
Just quickly, can I give a correction? Yeah, Tanya was right. It was Atalanta.
Oh, there you go.
Can you now Google?
Sienna's right underneath. Can you not see?
I told you I read that.
Yeah, he managed Sienna as well. Look at his face.
What?
You better worry about it.
He was trying to Google it to see that Sienna wasn't a team.
Is Sienna a team?
All right, go on, Tans.
No, but yeah, I was saying we couldn't get a hold of Southampton in that game. They were literally in our half pretty much. Broja bullying us. Defensively, all over the place.
Emerson Royal.
Emerson is just, honestly, probably one of the worst right backs we've ever had at this club.
That's saying a lot. Yeah, Aurier, Doherty.
Honestly, like, it's... How Spursy can you get when I can't you've got even someone think of worse the last
decent right back you
Kyle
had?
Walker.
Kyle Walker.
Kyle Walker.
And then maybe Trippier
was
alright.
Yeah,
Trippier
was
decent.
Choluka.
Chimbonda.
It's just so bad.
Alan Hutton.
Wait. Tanya's talking.
God, Dad.
But what can I say? We lack a lot of quality in this team. A lot.
So
what,
do you know that... Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say what... Because... I know you just mentioned the Southampton game, but you were at the Wolves game.
Yeah.
Obviously it gives you full picture of the pitch. Was there anything that you noticed? When you were 2-0 down, was there a lack of urgency? Was there, like, what is it that's not working right now for Conte and Spurs?
I think Conte, I will say this, he's not helping us with this 3-4-3. It doesn't work. Like, playing with two midfielders, we don't have the personnel. I think we need to go back to a 3-5-2 that we played against Liverpool. It suits us a lot better. I think it gets the most out of Kane and Son. Son was having an absolute stinker,
Son's
by the way.
He's been off it recently.
But you know what a lot of people say about Son? And I don't want to get onto him, but he's a little bit of a purple patch player. Like, sometimes I just think
degree.
He's just below that world-class level. I just think he's not consistent enough for me. He had so many chances in that game. Bentancur, who I do think is a good signing, he's the only midfielder for me that looks proactive. He wants to make things happen. He put a lovely ball into Son, and he just makes an absolute meal of it. His touch has been off. I mean, defensively, again...
Tottenham have been an absolute shambles.
Sanchez is just... honestly horrific. And again, I have to criticise Conte for this in a way, because he's been coming out saying, oh, I actually think Sanchez is a good defender. He said something crazy. I think he could be a good player. Awful
defender. He desperately wants Dyer back, though.
Dyer, we lose so much.
Rodon's on the bench. Why is he not playing him?
Well, he's playing Ben Davies as a left centre-back.
I don't rate Rodon either when he's played. So it's just like lack of options.
A few months ago, Mark asked you, like, what are the obvious... improvements that can you see in the Spurs team, and then you answered and blah, blah, blah. Retrospectively, looking back, you said it at the start of this, you think it was the honeymoon period.
Yeah.
So what do you think is now the issue? And you mentioned the formation and stuff like that, but what do you think you need to do moving forward apart from changing formation? Is there something that you would do? Is there something that Conte that you think he's like,
do you know
he's
what?
Missing a trick?
I sympathise with Conte because it goes back to even Jose. Like, what can you really do with this set of players? Yeah, we can change the formation. I think Bentancur has to start now in the midfield. But my concern is Skip's going to be out for a lot longer and Højbjerg's not been that great. And then who else have we got? We've loaned out Ndombele, Lo Celso. Obviously, Dele. Don't get me wrong, those signings should have happened. But we've got no... Our bench, when I was looking at who was coming on to change the game, Bergwijn. Really?
And Kulusevski, right? Come on.
He got sitting off 29 minutes.
Mate, that guy has got no pace whatsoever, by the way. Yeah, Kulusevski. I mean, he was making things happen, but Jesus Christ, he's slow, man.
And Lloris, man.
And Lloris.
The one player you think wouldn't join the defensive disaster class party, joined it.
That first goal was just... Obviously, he was doing the volleyball pat. I don't know why he was doing that.
Do you know what?
I
mean, they should just put us that on Comedy Central.
Like. It is. She's absolutely right. You watch that goal again, yeah? And you'll see when Jimenez takes the first shot and then Duncan takes the second shot that he parried out, yeah? When Jimenez, it wasn't Jimenez, Neves took the first shot. So Jimenez touched on his chest. There's five Tottenham players on the edge of the box not reacting. It was embarrassing. Like, honestly, if I was a Tottenham fan, I'd have to go mad. I'd run on the pitch like... You should have done that, to be honest.
No, honestly, like, even when you go to games, like, I've noticed, like, the Spurs Stadium, like, there's a lot of, like, there's no singing, there's no chanting. Like, obviously, rightly so, we were 2-0 down in the first half, but...
Yeah, didn't they have a half-time performance?
Huh?
There was like someone playing Oasis at half-time.
Oh, no, I must have missed that, you know, because I didn't
see the video, yeah.
I've got a question for you, actually, Tanya, on that tangent that you just went on. Do you... And this is quite an open question, and it's probably not one that's easy to answer, but... Do you think that stadium move has been worth it. No. Considering what you've just said about the atmosphere, I'm going to be brutally honest with people. White Hart Lane was full of atmosphere.
I love White Hart Lane.
And your new stadium isn't. The results aren't coming with it. Looks like you're going to be out of Champions League football again
for
another
time,
season. It's going to take them time. Of course it's going to take time. But
I want to burn that stadium down, obviously with no one in it, because I just think our priorities are in the wrong place. Levy, you
weren't down Levy when you
burned
down.
He's building a cinema, apparently. He's building more flats.
In the stadium.
Around the stadium.
Oh, we're losing 3-0. I'm going to watch Spider-Man.
At the end of the day, we need to focus on this team. It is a terrible, terrible squad, right? And this stadium, for me, should have been the last on our list. Sort your team out first. It's like what Poch said many years ago. Why have this fancy stadium if you ain't got the furniture?
I think it's
a beautiful stadium. Like every time I go, like even if you're an Arsenal fan, you can admire the stadium. It is a work of art. Like this stadium, we should be playing Champions League. Like it's such a beautiful stadium. But when you've got players that are just awful, like literally championship level playing in that stadium,
hey,
it's always
another Anton Joshua fight you can host. So I mean, you don't need to worry.
Yeah, but
I mean,
one thing
that's going under the radar is no injuries in February. Harry Kane has 5 league goals.
But you know what? I just don't want to blame
didn't
him.
It?
I don't want to blame Harry
yeah,
Kane.
But he's a shooter. That's what he does. He's a goal scorer.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah, he's not playing his best. But I just think we've further declined, if that makes sense. Like, we're getting worse. Like, if you look at the players he's having to play with, the midfield, like, there's no one that can create. He's having to be our creator.
Do you think he's getting worse with the team? Or do you think the team's getting worse? He's still at that level.
Yeah.
But it's harder for him to stay stand at that down. Level leads and stand out because the team's worse, or is he falling with the team?
It's definitely that.
Do you think he's still at the level then?
No, 100%. Like, if I'm a Man United, for example, I'm taking Harry Kane. If I'm City, I'm still getting Harry Kane because he's a top player for us. But look, for us, it's just the squad isn't good enough. That's all I can really say.
So
but
you're really ruling out top four?
Yeah, 100%. It's done.
I still think you're still in
the I don't think it's done, but I think you've made it so much more tricky for yourself than 2-3 weeks ago you would have been favourites.
I do find it tough for Tottenham because now the game in hand situation.
Yeah, it means nothing now.
They're on the same amount of games played as Arsenal, and they're only one game behind Man United.
Even if they win their game, they're still be below us.
Yeah, so it's just like.
They're only 3 points clear, but Brighton.
But I think that whole like clump of teams, I think they're just so.
It's the Spider-Man meme. We're all
it'll be the games against each other. But, so you have got each other soon. Spurs and Arsenal,
United. But if you're looking at Spurs, out of Spurs, Arsenal, West Ham, Man United, you have to say Spurs and Man United at the minute, and mostly Spurs. We don't look consistent. Can you trust us to win 4 games in a trot? Because I can't.
Well, you did that before these last three on the trot.
Yeah, you won how many games?
You were winning quite a few games.
Yeah, we were.
We won like 5 games or something.
There was this crazy stat on Match of the Day. They said when we've got Dier, Skip and Højbjerg playing, we concede something like 0 goals. And then now they haven't been playing, we've conceded like 13. Obviously, there needs to be context. Like the games that they've played in, we've played the likes of Norwich and whatever. But I think we do miss Skip. I think Dier needs to come back because there are some positives. I think Bentancur's a player. I like Romero. I think he's really good. But again, he's stinking it out now because he's got Dier and, Sanchez and Davis. It's so hard to stand out.
Exactly. And it's even, like, you're absolutely right. Like, it's harder for him because everyone at the back is giving away goals. Not even just making errors. Like, they're literally giving away goals.
Like, you know, you were talking about the first goal.
Yeah.
Moments like that can happen in any game for one team. But the thing I noticed is that
it's happening consistently.
Yeah, it's like the whole game. It's
the
like Tottenham are making
the same,
like
errors,
the same mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. Lloris, he makes the same errors for 2 goals, yeah? Davis against Southampton slips, gives away a goal. Then he gives away the ball for this goal.
Yeah.
And then Emerson, literally the exact carbon copy, Ward-Prowse cross header. Exactly the same thing.
But
like,
if you was Conte, right, what would you do? What do you think we can do? Because it's not even like he can drop anyone. Like,
but the thing is,
I would definitely go 3 in midfield and go 2 up top.
Yeah,
and what I would do as well is just stop playing out from the back because those players, you can't try, like, just
God,
go long at some points. Because, like, Wolves and Southampton are pressing teams. Yeah. And if you give the ball away to a pressing
both
team.
Both those teams play 2 up top.
Although, just to, as a counter to that, something that Arteta always says, no matter who you play against, you're playing out from the back.
Yeah.
And if Conte's trying to build something, he's going to have to stick to that principle.
And counterpoint, well.
Last season we suffered a lot because of that, but this season he bought the personnel in order to do what he did.
Maybe it's just going to take time.
Yeah, I hear that.
Oh, I don't think he's
But that's what I'm saying. Like, we were desperately, especially you, Abdi, you were desperately calling for Arteta to change it. Just in those periods where we don't have the personnel. I think for Tottenham's sake, they should do the same thing, because if it's not working and you're conceding these silly goals time and time again, it's just going to be to the detriment of what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Ultimately, because if you miss out on Champions League and you miss out on Europa League, again, amount of money that you would have got, and then now you have to spend over the odds for other players.
I just have to question Conte though, because that Southampton game, it was so obvious we were getting overrun in midfield. And it's like, why are you not changing it? It's almost like, is he
Højbjerg
trying
had
to...
a stinker, isn't it?
Yeah, Højbjerg has been shocking. He's
been having quite a stinky, other than the first 2 months of the season.
So even then, no, that was Nuno time, isn't it? So, he just had a poor season.
No, I think it was the bounce when Conte came in. I think the whole team kind of...
Yeah, naturally, looked as you would.
Right, we spent a lot
of time. Oh, thank God. Oh, can we just... I got through it.
She gave herself a round of applause.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we're pressed for time. Man City won. I mean, was it really a big surprise?
Norwich. Woohoo.
Okay, look, so we won.
Officially better than Drogba.
But I wanted to say about City, actually.
Yeah, go on.
This was a question I wanted to ask Mark about the title race, because I know Man City, they're what, like 9 points, 10 points? But I don't know. I can't help but feel like this title race ain't completely over. Like, well, it genuinely isn't. Because
if we win our game in hand, it's 6 points. If we beat City, it's 3 points.
Whoa, but
then that also factors
in
that you guys can't slip up at all.
Exactly. We can't slip up.
But Man City will lose. They will lose.
Yeah,
but
so Liverpool lose as well.
So will we. And City are the kings of putting together a run of wins. Yeah. 10, 12, 14,
they've already
16.
Done it this season.
They've already
and
done
City
it.
And City are going to win their next game. They're playing Tottenham, so...
Oh, wait, are you playing
Tottenham? Oh, no, please. I am begging you with everything in me. I need a Kane masterclass.
No, it's not done. I mean, we have to face Brentford, you know.
Yeah, you'll need a favour from... I mean, to be fair, City...
I need to clarify this, but I think they've got Spurs and United back-to-back. Or Spurs and someone quite tricky. So, but again, they're... Sorry, Tans, but there are two games you'd expect them to go and win.
Yeah, they would, yeah.
Like I said, there's not much room for... slip ups in this league if you're trying to compete with City.
As long as Chelsea ain't winning it, that's what I care about.
Shout out to Sterling though, innit?
Shout out to Sterling.
I need Liverpool to have a strong second at least. I just need Chelsea to...
Well, we're 7 points clear of Chelsea now.
Chelsea are out of the title race.
They're gone.
They're like 13 points off City, innit? Even then, now City probably extended it to like 16 or 17.
Well, did you not hear about Pep as well? He's going to extend his contract. I mean, if that's the case, forget next season. But, yep. Apparently,
I'll actually go watch the Bundesliga because it'd be more competitive.
Literally, like,
apparently, oh no, we're
anyway.
Sorry, I won't go on to the Bundesliga thing.
Went off on a tangent.
So, I think we should spend a little bit talking about Newcastle's mini revival. Call it mini for the time being because we don't know if like it's sustainable. Especially Trippier broke his metatarsal.
Peaking it, yeah.
That's probably a
Wait,
season
what?
Done. Yeah. Scored the free kick against
Villa. He's got two. Yeah,
and then free kick against Everton as well.
But they've only ruled him out for the next game. They haven't said completely that he's out for the season.
That's a big mistake.
I think they're trying to be optimistic.
Yeah, exactly. They're being optimistic. Yeah.
How's your timeline? Right, we're gonna rule him out for one game.
At the moment, he's ruled out for tomorrow.
And I think they said Callum Wilson's not gonna come back.
Yeah,
until.
But.
But who cares?
They're not even playing Bruno at the moment. Like, I think they're just bedding him into English.
Yeah, he's come on every time.
He came on in the 90th minute against this game. So.
Yeah, and he came on against Everton as well, like in the 86th.
But then they're like Joe Linton, bro. He is
revived.
Casemiro,
he's
bro.
Revived.
Joe Linton, Fabinho. I don't know who's better.
All right, relax. But I don't know. Newcastle seemed to, a lot of it seemed like panic. Like, they were just desperate to get people in.
Yeah.
There is a gem in there in Bruno Guimarães. Like, he's a young player. There's a lot of hope for him to be, like, a top quality
Target
player.
As well.
Target
decent.
He's only on loan,
Trippier
to be
decent.
Fair.
Oh, is he only on loan?
Yeah, but it seems to have, you know, obviously they had the money to do it, but they seemed in a better place than they did in Jan, and they seem in a better place compared to their... rivals around them.
One thing as well, like, everyone's just talking about all their new signings and everything. They've still got one of the most dangerous players in the league. I just love watching Sam Maximan. The way
who was the right back?
Was it Coleman? He sent Coleman to early retirement. Wow.
Like, he cooked that whole Everton team. Yeah. There's a run that he gets the ball on the edge of his own box and he physically outmuscles a player who falls on the ground, then he ends up in the box and someone misses
he's
the
so
chance.
Invaluable. He'd be so invaluable to many teams because he can take you up the pitch.
He gets into a lot of top teams, but isn't his contract like 6 years or something?
Yeah, he's got a death row contract.
He's probably into like the fourth now. Like.
He just signed that recently, I think. It was a new 6 year deal.
He's got that Saudi prison contract.
No, but he came out in a post-match interview and said, wow. And he came out, this was literally just last week, I think it was after the Villa game. Said, I love Newcastle.
Yeah, do you know what?
And I love everything about it. So,
he was celebrating against Everton, like at the end, all the Newcastle fans, and he was doing this.
At the moment, right now, especially if you're one of those established players in the Newcastle team, I don't really see why they would leave because one, it's a new. They're going to get more players, better players. They're beginning something in it, and they've got endless amounts of money. So if you renew your contract. Your money's going up by 6%. 60%.
6%. I was thinking, why is he being so specific?
I think I was going to start with six times, isn't it?
And then stingy pay rise, bro. 6%.
Is there part of you know, they've had a takeover? Are you happy for Newcastle?
No.
Or do you see because you know, your guys, it starts on City and that. Do you see it as a similar thing with Newcastle?
The only thing I'm happy for the league. The only thing I'm happy for Newcastle. Is their fans?
Yeah, because they've
suffered.
Because that nice one we saw at the Emirates.
No. Well, yeah, because like you can imagine.
Sorry, they interrupt.
But like Newcastle, like are working class people. They love their football. They're passionate. Yeah. Like
one club city, innit?
Yeah, and if you're like a Newcastle fan, you've been through it all. Like the last time anyone would have seen Newcastle win anything was in the 50s, and them men are
all
too
of them
old.
Are in care homes.
Yeah, them men are too old to. Yeah. To pass on the story. So I think Newcastle is probably one of the only clubs where it's massive for the whole city and they've had a dead team
but still,
for so many
I don't want another club to overtake
but
Arsenal.
But yeah, that's what
it's looking like though.
But it's not even about overtaking Arsenal. I just think it's the way that a football club is run is like changing into like, it's all about money.
Yeah.
Get with it, mate. You've got to get with it.
That's the only thing I don't like. But you say that, but Liverpool. I always bring it back to Liverpool.
Oh, I love Liverpool. I love how Liverpool do things.
Yeah, but Liverpool are foreign owners as well, innit?
Yeah, they're foreign owners, but they do things in the right way.
But before Klopp, they did invest heavily into the team.
They did invest heavily, but they sell well, and then they reinvest that money really clever. Like, they sell players who don't play a lot for like 30 million.
25 million.
Yeah, and that...
But they hardly played.
And then they... So if you sell like three players like that, that's 90 million.
If you do an investigation, all of those checks are going to bounce. we're really going to pay 20 million for Solanke.
Brewster, 20 M's as well.
Yeah, oh, wow, yeah.
We got 12 million for
You'd
Danny
get a lawyer
Ward
in right now
to
so
go and
make sure
on
you get
Leicester's
that.
Bench.
Exactly.
Jordan Ibe, biggest sham I've ever seen.
Well, how much did he go?
I had high hopes for Jordan Ibe. I used to really like him.
They were like, oh, he's better than Sterling. Really? That's Brendan Rodgers lying.
But anyway, they do it the right way. But Newcastle are just gonna go and throw money at the problem, and they're gonna. It's just basically another Man City.
Well, it started. They were the highest spenders in Europe.
92 million.
Yeah.
So
that's the last time
we'll hear that they're the highest spenders in Europe.
This
what are they gonna
man.
Do in the summer, man?
They're gonna go crazy if they stay up.
I'm gonna be honest. I think.
They will.
I think they will. Yeah. I think it's a Burnley, Norwich, and Watford.
But would you, as a owner, the new Newcastle owner, and he's going to give a potload of money? I wouldn't. Although I think he's an all right manager, but I wouldn't give it to Eddie Howe.
Like, I'd get someone else.
Like, especially if you're going to buy top profiler players, the market you're going to be shopping at is a higher market now. So I wouldn't put it in the hands of Eddie Howe.
It's just at a time of appointment. They had to bring in someone.
She said Jose Mourinho.
Why not, man? They'd love it.
You never know, man. You never know.
Might
the way football's going now, it's not even a bad shout.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
I don't know.
It's a terrible shout.
I'm thinking about who they would... Like, what kind of profile of manager would they
give Eddie Howe a chance, bro. Like, he's barely even started.
Sack him off, man. Sack
him
off.
His team's done our defend.
No. I just think, Abdi's right. If you look, Newcastle, they've got the money now. They've got a decent-ish stadium. They've got the players.
Decent-ish. St. James Park is classic, man.
Get a proper manager in. I look at Eddie Howe, I'm like, coach.
No, I think that's unfair. Like, you say, like, when you come up from the Championship, yeah, and like you've got a shoestring budget, you're gonna have to bring in players like. He trusted that defence and then he brought in attacking players to get him goals. When you're at Newcastle, the first thing he wanted to address was defence. He wanted to get Diego Carlos. He wanted to get, what's my man from Lille?
Botman.
Yeah, Botman. He wanted to get these players. These are great. These are good defenders. And but he couldn't get them. So he had to settle for Burn.
Yeah, but you know, eventually, they're just going to sack him. Like, there's no two ways about it. He is going to get sacked.
You don't know that. What if he does a great job?
End of the season.
So who would be this proper manager?
I'm hearing a lot about this. Maybe in it, but I'm hearing a lot about this Sporting Lisbon manager.
Almarin.
They scored one of the goals they scored on the weekend. He looks quite decent. I'd probably think about someone in the French leagues, like, or maybe someone in the Bundesliga, you know, a foreign manager who's got different ideas. Maybe I just feel like with Eddie Howe specifically, it's not even about an English manager. Maybe even like Graham Potter would be better, but I don't know.
I agree.
We haven't seen Graham Potter with a massive budget, so
maybe they could get him.
I just thinking, yeah, like Eddie Howe specifically, I like the way some of his teams play sometime, but they're just too porous at the back. You can't concede so many goals. Like historically with Bournemouth,
but
that's the way
majority of it is his winning. Like he won 1-0 against Villa, 1-0 against Leeds.
God, don't mention the back-to-back clean sheets because it just disregards everything Abdi said.
Well, there wasn't back-to-back clean sheets because they conceded a goal against Everton.
Yeah, but that's one. Well, so that in three games, that's one goal.
All right, if you play two games, you could see one of them. That's not a back-to-back clean sheet, is it?
All right, so in three games, he's conceded one goal. Whatever. His team has, sorry.
Whatever, innit? You're making me want Newcastle to go down now. If it means Sir Maximan is on the market, then yeah.
I don't know why you get so stressed that someone counterpoints you. I don't.
Yeah. No, it's because he tried to be smart about it. Okay, cool.
All right, okay.
Do you want to quickly talk about Leicester and West Ham?
I mean, not really, but.
Cool.
Because we're really running out of time.
Yeah. A decent game, though. Decent game. Yeah. Finished 2-2.
Brendan Rodgers is. He's a bigger bottler than Tottenham.
I'm telling you.
He's a bigger bottler than Tottenham, and that guy.
And that's for West Ham.
How's he still in a job? I'd sack him.
What did you guys think about the West Ham's equaliser, the second goal.
It's the sleeve, isn't it? So anything below the sleeve is a handball.
Technically, it's legit, but it just looked a bit iffy to me. Yeah. I don't know. Like, yeah. But technicalities and stuff like that, it was fine.
That have gone that they've just allowed.
What was the one I saw?
The Man United one, where Middlesbrough. Yeah. This one at the weekend, there's another one.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Oh, the Crystal Palace game where. Against Brentford, where he was allegedly pushed from behind. And
we didn't even mention that, but that finished 0-0 for everyone.
But my man had his hand up in the air like he was about to ask a question.
I don't remember. Who's this?
Gay. No, not gay. Gehi.
Gwehi,
yeah. Gwehi, yeah.
I'm just calling him gay.
Mark,
no, Mark homosexual.
No.
Sorry.
Wait, what?
Wait,
why is my name into this?
His first name is Mark, isn't it? Gwehi.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. I thought you was dragging me into that. Right? I didn't even say that, bro.
All right, so
whatever.
Cool.
Yeah, I can't
put it. All
right, so just really briefly, because I know we've got a short amount of time left. As a cat owner, how do you feel about the Zuma situation, Mark?
Oh, as a cat,
I've got a cat.
Yeah, I've got two.
Well, so do you. Oh my god, you got a cat.
I don't want to get into this. I feel like you guys covered it.
Tanya
like,
had a cat. You didn't ask her.
You didn't ask me how I felt about
it. But you just need to go to your Twitter.
There's no reason to get into this now. But I think he's his comeback.
Yeah. Cool. Right. Cool.
And you know what? West Ham and David would be ashamed of themselves for starting him as well. Outrageous.
I would have given some time.
He bottled
it
against Leicester. Yeah, I was about to say, because you know he was on that team sheet.
Yeah.
And then he left half an hour before kickoff because he was getting slaughtered by Leicester fans in the warm up.
Good.
And he got slaughtered by the West Ham home fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
talking about sacking him, I think that's just like it's overboard because you ain't sacking other players.
I feel sorry for his brother who's probably taken.
Well, his brother was the one who took the video. All right,
but
no, his brother has actually been suspended by Dagenham.
That's what I was about to say. Can I just finish my point?
Like, you said you feel sorry for him, so he had to jump on you.
No, but if you let me finish, like, I feel sorry because obviously what he did was awful because he condoned the violence, but he's taken the brunt of what. Yeah. Kurt Zouma should have got because he's earning less wages at Dagenham and Redbridge, whereas Kurt Zouma's earning so much money at West Ham and he's not getting the same punishment.
Apparently, it irked the West Ham squad because it meant they found out how much Zuma's on a week. Because you know he got fined 250k.
That's two weeks' wages. Yeah, yeah.
So apparently that's how they found out. He's the highest paid player at West Ham. That's how they found out.
Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just a weird tangent.
All right. Is there anything else that anyone wants to talk about? So should we move on to Man of the Week?
I hate football.
Thanks for that.
About this, but go on.
All right. So we'll just go alphabetically. Abdi?
He scored a hat-trick, so I'll say Sterling.
That's it?
Yeah. Sterling's my Man of the Week.
That literally kept that so short and sweet.
We're running out of time, so yeah. So it's going in a hat-trick. And he's overtaken Drogba. He's better than Drogba.
All right. So I'm going to go for Trippier for scoring 2 free kicks in a week. And...
I know impact. Who Mark's
going to
go for.
Impact.
I don't know it.
Fabinho, yeah. Impact sign in for Newcastle. Mark, just say yours.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I heard you lot bantering me last week.
Oh,
we bring it back to you'd say Coutinho, Gerrard. I heard it all, yeah.
You're taking me on
I
there.
Heard it all. Yeah. I heard it all. But funnily enough, it's going to a Liverpool player this week.
Of course it is.
5 goals in 7 games, but just... generally just being the best DM in the league, in my eyes. Let's not get into that debate now. So I'm going to give it to Fabinho.
Joelinton.
Yeah, Joelinton. Tanya?
I'm actually prepared this time. I'm going to give it to Shay Adams. I think he's been brilliant for Southampton. Scored the winner against Spurs, got the equaliser against Man United. So yeah, Shay Adams.
And there will officially be artwork this week. I didn't do
why,
it last
why did you point at me like I'm going to draw? I can't draw.
I literally just went like this.
You definitely pointed at me. But okay, anyway.
There's going to be artwork this week. I didn't do it last week because I broke my
wrist. Special shout out to Maguire for the entertainment he provides to all of us.
And Man United in general. Thank you so much. Well done. Thank you.
That's a nice way to end it.
Yeah,
I can get down with that.
So we'll catch you on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later.
Woohoo!
Boom.
Sports Social Podcast Network.